Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Today we are in part three of the series, which is titled Destined to be Great. And in this series, you know, our main objective is to understand that a bad start does not have to be a bad finish. We've all had bad starts at different points and times throughout our lives, different situations. We've had some bad starts. We've all taken some bad turns, you know, in different times in our lives. But a bad start or even a bad turn does not have to mean a bad finish. Our main scripture comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 8. It says, finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. And so today, I want to encourage you guys to take some notes if you can, if you will, and write down our subtitle for today, which is, your position is not without trials. I know that you guys know, you done lived long enough, and you should know by now that your life is not without trials. Even in all the good times and all the good turns and all the good situations in your life, it does not come without trials. Trials are going to come. As long as you are walking this earth, as long as you are breathing God's air, you are going to have some trials in your life. But here's the deal. Your position will not stop your troubles from coming. So the position that you're in, last week we talked about our position was by design. Your position is by design. Your position is by design, but your position will not stop troubles from coming. It will not stop trials from coming. They are going to keep coming. Amen. As long as the devil is still roaming around, seeking whom he can destroy and devour, we're going to have some trouble. We have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And as long as Satan's around, we're going to have some troubles, right? So here's the deal. So your position also will not stop people from hating on you. It's not going to stop your troubles and your trials. It's not going to stop people from hating on you. They're going to come from every angle. And so the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 2 through verse 4, it says, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith, it produces what? It produces perseverance and it produces patience. Let perseverance and patience finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. God desires, he wants us to know, he wants us to understand that there's going to be some trials, there's going to be some troubles, but when these troubles come, when these testing situations come, we have to stay faithful. We have to stay faithful. And if we do, it's going to produce perseverance, it's going to produce some patience. You know, our scripture that's driving us again comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. It says, finishing is better than starting. What? Patience is better than pride. The trials and situations that we face in our lives, stay faithful, they're going to produce patience. They're going to produce perseverance. Perseverance is going to get us through those situations. So let that patience, let that perseverance do what? Let it finish its work. Amen. And once it finishes its work, it's going to allow for us to grow and to be more mature and more complete. And it says lacking nothing. Last week, we talked about Mordecai and how he was promoted to a palace official. And as he was promoted to a palace official, we know that this position of his, it came by way of, or it came because of Queen Esther, who was his younger cousin, who lost her parents both when she was very young. Mordecai adopted her into his house, into his family, and raised her as his own child. When Esther became queen of Persia, because of her relationship with Mordecai, he was blessed with a position as a king, as a palace official, all right? Because he was in this position as a palace official, as we talked about last week, it put him in a position to hear or to find out there was two servants of the king, King Xerxes, that were plotting to assassinate him. And he found out this information, and because of the position or the place that he was in at his life at that time, he shared this information with Esther. Esther shared this information with her husband, the king, and they were both able to save his life, all right? So Mordecai and Esther, they used this information to save his life. So today we're going to continue with the story of Esther, and we're going to pick up on another part of her story, of this story, as we move along, okay? So this situation that we're going to be talking about today in Esther's life, in Mordecai's life, is a situation where there was a plot against not Mordecai specifically, but it did have something to do with him directly. So in the book of Esther, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 is where I'm going to be reading from, as I'm starting from with this Bible story today. It says, sometime later. So Esther is now, she's now queen of Persia. She's now queen to King Xerxes. Mordecai has been promoted to be a king palace official, and life has seemed to be pretty good. Everything is going great. Some years go by, okay? And as some time goes by, it says here in the first verse, it says, sometime later, King Xerxes, he promoted Haman over all the other nobles, making him the most powerful official in the empire. All the king's officials would bow down to him before Haman, or bow down before Haman to show him respect whenever he passed by, just as the king commanded. But Mordecai refused to bow down. Then the palace officials at the king's gate, they asked Mordecai, why are you disobeying the king's command? They spoke to him day after day, but still he refused to comply with the order. So they spoke to Haman about this to see if he would tolerate Mordecai's conduct, since Mordecai told him that he was a Jew. All right. So let's understand what's going on right here. So Haman he's been promoted as the highest official in the land, the highest official in the king's palace. All the other officials, there was no one that had a higher position than Haman did. All right. And Haman, you know, when you read the story, one of the things that you will find out about Haman was a very big-headed, proud person. He let his position go to his head. And he had, y'all know people like that, right? They just let it go to their head. He was a person that let it all go to his head. You know, I want you guys to know this. Like I told you, that subtitle today, your position is not without trials. Mordecai, he finds himself, he's a palace official, and Haman now has been promoted, and Haman is using his power. He's flexing his arms. You know, he's sticking his chest out, right? So in different situations, he was flexing his power just because he had the ability to be able to do so. So here, he was having everyone, all the other officials in the entire palace, he was having them to bow down before him. All right, now listen, he's not the king, all right? In most situations, the only somebody that people would bow down to would be the king, right? But here Haman, he's not the king, but he's the most powerful official in the whole palace. So he had everybody bowing down to him, and he convinced King Xerxes that this was okay, that this was cool. And so King Xerxes commanded, okay, cool. Everybody, y'all see him, y'all bow down before him because he's a representative of me. He's an ambassador of me. So y'all bow down before him. When y'all see him, just act like y'all saw me and bow down, right? So Here, Mordecai finds himself in a situation because he's a palace official. Also, he has to abide by this command that was given by the king. Mordecai decides, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay. Mordecai is disobeying the king's command. And some of his co-workers, they're finding out, they're watching him and they're seeing him. Haman would come by, however he would come by, and Mordecai, all of them would bow down, but Mordecai was not bowing down. And so his co-workers, and some of y'all got some co-workers, right? Some of y'all can relate to this, all right? His co-workers were watching him every time Haman would go by, that they would bow down, but he wasn't. Mordecai, what's the deal, bro? Why come you ain't bowing down? And Mordecai, you know, at some point, I'm sure that he avoided telling them why. He probably gave them some excuses. He probably didn't want to tell them the truth or whatever. You know, how many of y'all ever been on a job before? And let's just say you got a promotion, or you got some favor that was shown to you, or maybe you got a raise, you know, in your pay or something like that. Something, you know, everything's going well or whatever. And, you know, the boss is cool with you, whatever, you know, supervisor, everybody cool with you. And some of your friends, some of your coworkers might be like, you know, hey, man, how much you get paid? How much you get paid? Because this is what I get paid. How much you get paid? And you know, sometimes you don't want to just tell that information, right? Because you don't know what they're getting paid. They might be getting paid a whole lot less than you. And if you tell them what you're getting paid, then now they might have some issues with that, right? Mordecai, he did not want to tell people that he was a Jew. He kept it a secret. As a matter of fact, when Esther was going to be, when she was, you know, presented to the king, as he was choosing a new queen, Mordecai told Esther, he said, listen, do not tell anyone that you are a Jew, because if you do, it could put our family in danger. It could put you and our family in danger. So let's keep that quiet. Remember, the children of Israel, they are in exile. They are not living in their own country anymore. They're not living in their homeland anymore. They're scattered abroad. They're scattered around the Middle Eastern area, right? And so they're in exile. When we look at the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, throughout history, there's been many times where they've been exiled because somebody came in and took over their land and kicked them out, okay? Or they fled because of fear of danger, or because of the laws, or because of the restrictions that was put on them. So here's a situation where they're in exile. You guys remember when the Holocaust? Remember when Germany was killing all the Jews there? Germany is not their homeland. So how did they end up there? Once again, they found themselves in exile. They were not living in their homeland during this time where World War I or World War II broke out with Germany. I'm not sure whichever one it was. But during this time, a lot of Jews were living in Germany. All right. And the German officials, or Hitler, let's put it all on Hitler, because he was the president at the time, or the dictator at the time, sought out to kill and destroy all of the doggone Jews, right? Well, Lord forgive me for saying that, not doggone Jews, but the Jews, all right? So here we have a situation where Mordecai, he's trying to keep it a secret that he is a Jew, but because his co-workers keep asking him, why you aren't buying? Why come you're not bowing down to Haman? He had to tell them at some point. He had to give in. He had to tell them the truth. Here's the truth. According to Jewish law, they were not, okay, the Ten Commandments, Jewish law, according to Jewish law, they were not allowed to bow down to anyone except for their God, Jehovah. All right? That's one of the commandments. Do not bow down, or do not worship any other gods before me. All right? Do not bow down. So in their law, the Jewish law, they were not supposed to bow down. So at some point, Mordecai, he had to tell them. He said, hey, look, I'm Jewish. OK, I'm here's the reason why I don't bow down. I'm a Jew. And Jewish law says that we are not supposed to bow down before any God or anybody. The only one that we bow down to is our God, Jehovah. All right. So now he's been exposed. People know now that he's a Jew. This is the reason why he's not bowing down. All right. They go back, his co-workers, all right, his haters, they go back and they tell Haman, Haman, guess what? Mordecai is over here. And every time you come by, you probably don't even notice it because everybody be bowing or whatever. Mordecai does not bow down to you. And guess what? To make matters even worse, he's a Jew. He's a Jew in our land. He's a Jew, okay? This foreigner is in our land, in our homeland, and he won't even obey the king's command and bow down before you. What you gonna do, Haman? What you gonna do? Y'all know there's people that do that stuff to us all the time, right? They start hating on us. And when they start hating on us, they start snitching. You know, we got some snitches out there. That's what they were. They were snitches. And you know what? Okay, I'm going to leave snitching alone. But there were some snitches, right? Here they go, snitching on Mordecai, telling Haman about him not bowing down, telling Haman that he's a Jew. All right. So up until this point, nobody knew, but Mordecai had to tell them why he was not bowing down. Sometimes your position will cause you to be put into a position. Sometimes your position will cause you to be put into a bad position, or so it seems, right? It seems like it's a bad position. It feels like a bad position. It smells like a bad position. It looks like a bad position. To us, to you, it's a bad position, but maybe not, okay? Because there's always something bigger at play. Sometimes your position will cause you to be put into a position. It will cause you to be put into a bad position. But here's the deal. It was Mordecai's position that caused him to be put into this position. Your position will sometimes cause you to be. But here, remember this. Your position is by what? We said this last week. Your position is by design. So even though your position might produce some troubles and some trials, even though your position might produce some haters, you have to remind yourself that your position is by design. His position was by design. His co-workers told Haman about this, and Haman, he got extremely angry. He was furious. Remember, Haman was a type of guy. He was big-headed. He was using his power. He was using his authority, and he was flexing it all over the place, right? So here, Haman gets extremely upset. He gets extremely mad, and he decides that, you know, with this situation, he was going to use it as an example. You know, there was a time, you know, he was thinking about at first, you know, let's just kill him. Let's destroy him. Let's torture him. Let's do this, you know, all these other kind of crazy stuff to Haman. I mean, to Mordecai, to destroy him. Right. But then he decided, you know what? Wait a minute. We're going to scratch all that. We're not going to do that. It would be too easy just to punish him. All right. The reason that he's not bowing down to me is because he's a Jew. Okay, y'all see where we're going here? He's a Jew. So instead of just punishing him, let's punish all the Jews. Let's set an example in the entire land, in the entire region, in the entire empire, that anyone who rebels against us, not only will they put their own lives in danger, but they're going to put the lives of their entire family, their entire people, their entire tribe. They're going to put a whole lot of people in danger if they rebel against any orders that we have set by the king. Right. So he put out an order. He put out a decree. He talked to King Xerxes, and he said to King Xerxes, this is what we got going on. We got Mordecai. We got this guy over here. All right. And here's the deal. It appears that while Haman is putting together this plan, and I can't get too far into this thing just yet, but there's something going on here. Like I'll tell you guys, there's always something bigger at play. There's always more going on than what you can see at the moment that you're in certain situations. So always keep that in mind, okay? So he comes up with a situation. He talks to King Xerxes. And King Xerxes allows Haman to set a rule, set a thing. And this is what he says. Haman says, let's use Mordecai as an example. We're going to kill all the Jews. All right. But here's the deal. We're not just going to kill all the Jews. We're going to slaughter them. We're going to torture them. We're going to annihilate them. We're going to make them disappear off of the face of the earth. You remember that's what Hitler was trying to do with the Jews during the time of the Holocaust. They just weren't trying to kill the Jews. They were slaughtering them. They wanted to annihilate them. They wanted to make them disappear off the face of the earth. So Haman, this is what Haman did. He wanted to destroy them. He wanted to make them disappear. He wanted to slaughter them. He wanted to annihilate them. But he wanted to do it all, guess what, in one day. One single day. So he put out an order. They posted signs up all over the entire empire the Persian Empire, the empire of King Xerxes. They put posters and signs up everywhere. All right. And they said that on this particular date, they set a date, which was, you know, months later. All right. Set a date for months later. So by setting a date for months later, it tortured people mentally. It tortured people spiritually because it's like there was counting down to the time where they would end up being dead. All right. Either they got to somehow figure out how to get out of here, flee this land or whatever. If they stuck there, whatever, they're counting down the days to where they're going to die. All right. So they put out a thing, and King Haman said this. He said, everyone who sees a Jew, everyone who knows of a Jew. In other words, this wasn't just something that was being done or by the police. This wasn't just something that was being done by the military, by their soldiers or whatever. They gave this thing to anybody. On this particular day, anyone who knows a Jew, anyone who sees a Jew, we're going to kill him. I want you to kill him on sight. Kill the children, kill the women, kill the men, kill everybody. And whoever you kill, you get to keep all the possessions in their house. Oh, wow. I mean, does this movie almost sounds kind of familiar a little bit? You guys remember the movie The Purge? Okay, The Purge, there was one day, right? One day, or was it one night, you was allowed to kill whoever you wanted to kill, right? Kill whoever you wanted to kill. So all night long, everybody's out, you know, and people knew when this day was coming. People knew when this time was coming. They were doing their best to try to prepare for it as much as they possibly could, you know? Some people didn't take it as serious as they were supposed to. People got caught up. Here, the nation of Israel has a purge date that all of them are going to be killed, and anybody can kill them, and whoever kills them gets the reward of keeping all of their possessions. This disturbed Mordecai. Mordecai was mortified. Okay, he was. I don't even know how to put this thing into words, but just imagine that your actions of not bowing down to Haman caused for an order to be submitted throughout the entire empire, that because of your actions, this one man, we're going to slaughter all of y'all on one day and have a big old purge. I mean, he's like, what in the world is this? So every day, Mordecai, he stood at the gate, or actually he laid at the palace gate, and he would cry every day, crying out every day, crying out every day. He's at the gate. Every day he show up at the gate, he's crying, he's crying, he's crying, he's crying, he's begging, he's pleading, calling out to God, calling out to God. After a while, after you know, some days or whatever, Queen Esther, she finds out, she hears, you know, so her maids tell her, they say, hey, your cousin Mordecai, he's every day he's out there at the gate and he's laying all in the ground, rolling around, crying and going on, causing a big old scene over there. What's up with your cousin, you know? And so they was like, Queen Esther said, go. She sent one of her servants. She said, go down there, find out what's going on with Mordecai. So her servant goes down, asks Mordecai, dude, what's going on? What's happening here? And he said, he explained to her servant what was going on. And he said, all of us are going to be destroyed. All the Jews are going to be destroyed because of my actions. Because I wouldn't bow down to Haman, all of the Jews are going to be slaughtered. They're going to be killed. They're going to be annihilated on a purge date. And so he says to go back. He said, go back and tell Queen Esther to go to King Xerxes and plead for our lives. Plead for him to save us and not allow for this to go forth and to kill us. So her servant goes back. Her servant tells Esther what Mordecai says and tells her what's going on with Mordecai, why he's out there crying and everything. And Esther, she's like, wait a minute. She's like, wow. So, of course, she's disturbed as well, right? Because at this point, it's not known that she's a Jew as well, all right? But if she says something, now it's going to be exposed that she's a Jew. And so now she's in the middle of this order as well to be killed, right? So Esther's like, go back to Mordecai and say, Mordecai, that's not a good idea. That's not a good plan. We need to come up with another plan. So what's plan B? Give me plan B. Her servant goes back to Mordecai and he says, he delivers a message to Mordecai. He tells Mordecai what Queen Esther says to come up with a plan B. Mordecai gives a response to send back to Queen Esther. Here's his response. We're going to start reading here. Esther chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Mordecai sent his reply to Esther. Don't think for one moment that because you're in the palace that you will escape when all the Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at this time, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from somewhere. Mordecai knows that he has faith in God. He has trust in God that what's going on, that at some point God will deliver the nation of Israel. God will deliver the Jews. But he's saying that don't you count on that deliverance coming before we all end up dying. He says, if you keep quiet at this time, deliverance and relief of the Jews will arise from another place. He said, but you and your relatives will die. In other words, God's going to rescue. God's going to come through at some point. But don't count. Don't do think that we're not going to die in this process. OK. He said, who knows? Who knows? All right. There is so much thing that's going on. There's so much that God is doing. There's so much at work. So much work at play. And we sometimes don't realize how much is going on behind the scenes. We don't realize what's going on in the next person's house, or we don't realize what's going on in City Hall. We don't realize what's going on in the state capitol and the meetings that they're having. We don't realize what's happening with our nation, with our president and our congressmen and senators. We don't know the meetings that they're having behind closed doors. We don't know the meetings that our bosses are having behind closed doors. There's so much at work, so much at play. We don't even know what our neighbors are saying about us. We don't know what our family members are saying about us. There's a bigger picture that's going on right here. And Mordecai says to her, he said, who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just a time as this? Mordecai, he understands and he realizes that there is a bigger picture than what we actually see. There is something more that's going on. And he said, tell Esther, Queen Esther, who knows? Just maybe the whole reason that she became queen is for this very moment, for such a time as this. This is the whole purpose of her life. Or shall I say, this is the main purpose of her life. She was born to save the lives of the Jews. Just maybe, she was born for such a time as this, that she became queen for just a time as this. You know, we can think about people all throughout our history that did incredible things that impacted a whole nation, or as a matter of fact, impacted a whole world. Those people, just maybe, just perhaps, they were created for that time, because nobody could have done it better than them. Nelson Mandela, nobody could have done it better than what he did. Martin Luther King, no one could have done it better than what he did. You can constantly go on throughout history and you can pick out people from the beginning to the end of times, to the current time that we're in now. And there are people who impacted a whole nation, again, the whole world, in ways that no one else could have done it but them. Maybe Esther was a Moses. Maybe Esther was a Joshua. Maybe Esther was a deliverer. All right. Here, remember, your position is by design. Esther and Mordecai are in positions that's all orchestrated by God. Mordecai is a palace official, orchestrated by God. Mordecai end up adopting a little girl, orchestrated by God. Here he is in a position now where, because he is honoring God, holding fast to the Jewish law of not bowing down to nobody but his God, now his entire nation, all of the Jews, are in danger because he's holding fast to the commandment that God gave to him and his people. He's obeying God at all costs. No matter how bad it may seem, he's obeying God at all costs. And because he's obeying God, his entire nation is in danger of being purged on one single day. How can God not come through on this? How can God not show his power in this? How can God not show up in this situation? He has to. He has to show up. He has to. And Mordecai is faithful. He has enough faith, enough understanding. Even in all the troubles, even in all of his fear, even in all of his crying, he has enough sense to understand that I don't care how bad this thing feels, I don't care how bad it looks, God got to come through on this one. He got to. It hasn't all been peaches and cream. After Esther became queen, you know, they lived for some years. Mordecai is a palace official. Esther as queen, they lived for some years and everything was peaches and cream. Everything was smooth. Everything, life was good, you know. And but here we got this dude, Haman, that comes along and destroys or has the potential of destroying everything. You may have times in your life where things are great. Things are going good. Things are going smooth. You know, they may not be perfect, but they life is good. All right. You living your best life. Right. And then all of a sudden, one person comes along and seemingly destroys or risks put you in a situation that could just make everything come tumbling down. Not just for you, but for your entire family. Not just for your family, but for all those people that have that you have an influence in their life, in their lives. And so here, everything is not peaches and cream. Everything is not going to be peaches and cream with you. There are going to be times where you're going to have some trouble. There are going to be times their position, it brought some trials. Their position, it drew out some haters. All right. This thing, remember, this thing with Mordecai did not start with Haman specifically. It started because of his co-workers. Oh, yeah, that was an order and Mordecai was disobeying the order. But guess what? Haman probably, you know, who's to say, maybe he wouldn't have found out about it if his co-workers hadn't opened their mouths and snitched on him. There's haters that have come from every angle. When this happens, when troubles come, when trials come, when your haters come, don't get bent out of shape because they come. Don't get bent out of shape because of the trials that you are facing in your life. Jesus says here in the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Jesus was telling the disciples about some things and about some troubles and about some trials, about some situations that was coming down the pipeline. He knew that there was something bigger at play. And he was trying to prepare them and trying to tell them, okay, guys, we need to get ourselves together. We need to get ourselves ready because there's some things coming down the pipeline. We need to get ready. Everything is good. People are getting saved. People are turning to God. People are getting healed. You know, people are getting delivered. Their lives are turning for the better. You know, ministry is good. The lives of people are good. But hey, wait a minute. Just because things are good, don't think for one moment that trials won't come. And he says here, he said, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, as long as this world is in existence, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. We are in the world, but not what? Not of the world. We are of Jesus Christ. Yes, there. As long as in this world, as long as we're in this world, we're going to have troubles. We're going to have trials. We're going to have haters to come out. He says, but be of good cheer when they do. When you see them, when these things come up, be of good cheer because I have already overcome it. Mordecai understood and knew that when that situation happened, that, yes, you know, it's not good. But guess what? We have to continue to stay faithful to God because God has already overcome this situation. We don't know how, we don't know when, but we know he's already overcome this situation. When your haters come, get upset. When your haters come, get upset, get mad, get even angry. Okay. But here's the thing. Maintain your position. Maintain your position. Hold your position fast when they come, all right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, it says, be angry, but sin not. Okay. Be angry when they come, but sin not. Don't let your haters cause you to sin. Don't let your haters cause you to step out of your position. Don't let your haters cause you to make a decision or make decisions that's too hasty. You know, sometimes our haters come or troubles and trials come. And when they come, we get upset. We get all bent out of shape. You know, we get angry. We get mad. We start doing things that's out of our character. We start doing things that's out of our position. Sometimes we'll abandon our position altogether. We'll just leave. You know what? You got some stuff going on your job. You know what I mean? I can't take this no more. I'm out of here. Y'all can have this, man. I'm gone. But maybe you was in that job by design. And if you was in that job by design, as soon as some troubles come, as soon as some haters come, you just quit and you leave. And then that wasn't the part of the plan. The plan was, there's a reason for you being there, but because this stuff happened, you made a quick decision, you made a hasty decision, and you were never supposed to leave in the first place. Stand your ground. When troubles come, when haters come, stand your ground. Let me pause here for just a second. Margaret, can you do me a favor? Our battery is about to run out on this computer. Can you get the cord out of my backpack and plug it up for me? I apologize for that, guys. I forgot to plug up my laptop here. Okay. Over there. Our main scripture here, stand your ground. Our main scripture, as a reminder, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, it says, finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. So many people have never finished their assignment because they've allowed for their trials and their haters to push them out of their position. You were placed in a position. That position that you were placed in was by design. And there was a job, there was a purpose for you being there. Maybe you have never finished that job, or you never finished that purpose. You never saw that purpose through, because when those trials came, because when those haters came, you allowed for that thing, those situations, to push you out of your position, therefore never finishing. Remember, finishing is better than starting. You started good, but you didn't finish because troubles came, because haters came. You must do what? You must remain patient. And by remaining patient, you will allow for God to do his work. Sometimes we make hasty decisions. We move too fast. We get upset. We get angry. We get all bent out of shape. And we start making decisions too fast. And when we do that, we jump out of God's plan. And when we jump out of God's plan, then he can no longer complete the work that he started in you. Your position is by design. You are where you at for such a time as this. You need to be confident that where you at, you are there for such a time as this. So here's the question. What time is this? And so many people, you know, especially, you know, people that's been in the church for some time and people that's been heard this message for so many times, people have heard the story about Esther and they've heard, you know, for such a time as this. There is thousands, maybe millions of messages out there that preachers and teachers have taught on, you know, such a time as this. Here's one thing that has never been defined for me. What time is this? What time is this? And, you know, so here Mordecai and Esther find themselves in a situation that Mordecai says, maybe Esther, tell Esther that perhaps she became queen, or she is queen, for such a time as this. What is this? This is to save the lives of the Jews. That's what this is. That's what this was for her. This for her was to save the lives of the Jews. So if you were created for such a time as this, if you're in a position that you're in for such a time as this, the place that you're in your life right now, what is this? Define this. What is this time that you are in this position for? Mordecai's time was to save the king. His time was to save that he was in his position to save the king's life. Esther, her time was to save her people. Somebody's life just might be in your hands. And when I say somebody's life, I don't necessarily mean till death, you know, meaning life and death, you know, specifically. In Mordecai's situation in saving the king, yeah, it was a life and death situation. In Esther's situation, yes, it's a life and death situation for all the Jews, but I'm not saying that you're such a time as this is to that extreme, but maybe somebody's life is in your hand. Maybe you're there to save their life. Maybe your position, God has orchestrated you to be in the place to save somebody's life. Maybe somebody is about to lose their home and you're there to save. You're there to save their home. Maybe somebody is about to lose their job and maybe you're on that job to save their job. If they lose their job, they could lose their home, lose their car, their kids. Who knows what can happen if they lose their job? Maybe you're there to save their job. There's so many. So look at your situation. Look at the place that you're at. Forget about your troubles. Forget about your trials. I'm not saying ignore them, okay? I'm not saying forget about them to the point like don't live like they don't exist, okay? Yeah, get angry, get mad, get upset, but don't sin. Don't allow for those situations to push you out of your position. Look at your position and say, okay, why am I at this place at this time in my life? There's got to be a reason for that. There's something bigger at play. God, show me. Show me. What I need to do. Why am I here, God? What is this? What is this time as this? I want to know. If I'm here for such a time as this, what is this? Define this for me, God. Show me. What is this, God? Perhaps, just perhaps, you are in this position. You are at the place that you're in right now to save somebody's life.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.